Good morning and shalom. I want to welcome you in our journey, the journey of verse by verse Bible discovery study. I want to believe and hope that you have already been able to answer these questions in your groups, in your family altars, with your friends and buddies, with your children, in your cell group, as individuals. It's good to realize that I come to give a reflection, my own reflection, after I believe and hope you have already been able to engage in the question. That is the essence. We are in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And we want to deal with verses 12 all the way to 17. A message that will be part one, because we'll be able to go on in chapter 3. We are looking at how to bring comfort to a family of God, to the family of faith that had gone through hurtings and wounded, that have been wounded, that have been bleeding, that have been barren, that have been quarreling, that have hurt each other. We discover that the church at Corinth was a hurting church. Paul was hurt by the fact that there was division. He felt wounded. In fact, at one time he said that because of the sin, especially the sins of one person or particularly one person, one man who was sleeping with his mother-in-law or stepmother to begin with, that Paul says that sin wounded the whole church. It wounded Paul. It wounded the father, his father, because if a son sleeps with the wife of his father, whether the second wife or the first wife or whatever wife, that wounds the father. I'm reminded of Jacob. When his firstborn son, Reuben, did that evil action, when he slept with his mother or with his mother-in-law, no, a stepmother, or the wife of his father, second wife of his father. And that action wounded his father so much, so that in Genesis 49, during just before the death of his father, one of the things he did was to pronounce a curse on his firstborn son. And that was so wounding to the father that he had to deny the firstborn son, Reuben, the privilege of being a firstborn, privilege of taking the first or the double portion, privilege of leading the family after his death. That is such kind of a wound. And whatever he said to Reuben, that's what happened. We understanding that help us to understand the kind of hurt that was happening in this church. And so Paul is writing to say that that was bad. But the second letter of Paul was to speak comfort. After the church had repented, after this brother had repented, Paul was now saying, we don't need to keep on afflicting punishment and rebuke for all the time. He has repented, so forgive him. Now, in this part, he said that he changed his travel plan so that he would not continue to wound them. But here, particularly, we are looking at why Paul was able to minister comfort. Some of us are not able to continue to minister comfort because the action of somebody who did wrong to us, we carry that person for too long. But said, the reason why I did that is because I am a minister of the new covenant. And a minister of the new covenant preaches forgiveness. That's what now he says. We had already seen in chapter 2, verse 1 to 11, Paul had said, forgive this brother. But now, how do you forgive? Why do you forgive? Why is Paul talking about forgiveness? Why was it easy for Paul to talk about forgiveness? Because he realized he was a minister of the new covenant. And the work of the new covenant, the minister of the new covenant, is to preach forgiveness. That's how the Lord has rewired you. So we focus on understanding the heart of Paul as a minister of the new covenant and as a captive of Jesus' triumphal procession. He said, I'm a captive. Captive of what? I cannot do otherwise. I can only forgive because the Lord has taken me as his own captive. And I am there to let people see the aroma of Jesus Christ. That's who I am. And that's why I'm asking you forgive, because I have already forgiven. So through the Lord Jesus Christ, now though the Lord Jesus Christ had opened a big door of opportunity to preach at a place called Troas, Paul had not peace. Paul did not have peace because he had not received the feedback about the state of the Corinthians' repentance. You know, Paul had sent Titus with a letter, another letter before this one, Second Corinthians, another letter that was lost. We have already established that with you. And Titus took a letter to them. But Titus had discovered, or we are going to discover, that he will bring a report that they repented. But by then, by the time Paul is writing here, he had not met with Titus. So though there was a great door to preach to another people. Can you imagine? Paul could not continue preaching to a second group before he could amend, you know, the hurting and the brokenness of the first group. What does that tell you? Sometimes, before we get to preach to the second city, let's make sure that we have established and we all have forgiven whatever is happening to the first group you preach to. That is the lesson I'm getting here. That Paul did not get the peace of mind until he got an opportunity to hear that. So we also discover the motivations of Paul preaching comparing to other ministers. Paul had a motivation. And let's just hear those five verses. We will still continue in chapter 3. Now, when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened a door for me, I still had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and went to Macedonia. Oh my goodness, peace of mind. We preach because we have got peace of mind. We need to pray. Peace of mind. What do you understand by this phrase, the peace of mind? The shalom. Peace means shalom. The shalom of mind is the most important thing for a preacher of the new covenant. Shalom. We need to preserve this shalom, this peace, because it's the one that helps us to preach. We don't preach because there's an open door or because people are ready to hear the gospel. We should listen also to our inner being. That's why preachers should take care of their peace. That's why we should take care of our mind. That's why Paul would be able to ask for forgiveness of this brother, because he had the peace of mind of forgiveness. But here, there was an open door to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. There was an opportunity to add more people, to preach to more people, to add another community, to add another cell church. But he could not be able to start another fellowship at Troas. Why? Because he had not received information about the previous community. And so this is very critical. Let's work on the previous community. That is telling us, as we keep on preaching the gospel, let's make sure that we keep healing and amending the hearts of those communities and fellowships that God has already given, even before we start of new one. It depends on the peace of mind. But thanks be to God. Now he's telling us his heart. He is a minister of the new covenant. Thanks be to God, who always lead us as captives in Christ's triumphal possessions, new procession, and uses us to spread the aroma of knowledge of him everywhere. He brings in another detail here we need to know. Today we don't understand this because it's not well done, because today is not repeated. But those days during the war, when one commander would defeat another army, he would take the captives, the people from that other people, whoever it was, he takes them captives. And those captives would be able to speak about the glory of this new captor, the one, this new victor, the one army that has won, this king that has won. People will be able to know how great he is because of the people that you have captured. And when you see the people, maybe the kings and the queens and the people, even before killing them, you take them through the city walls, and every person will be able to celebrate the the king, the victorious king. And he says, "Whoa, what a king!" And so they were spreading the knowledge of that king. So the Paul uses that image and says, when Jesus preached to us, we became like captives. He actually became captives, not a captives. Paul says that we are captives. He leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession. Jesus won over the sin. He is the new king. He is the new leader. He is the only one. This king has won this one. And this king was won by this one. But Jesus finally is the king, the little king who has won. And he has taken us. So when we are in his possession there, he is not going to kill us apparently. But he is going to make other people to see who he is through seeing us. When you see people who used to be drunkard, being sober, when you used to see people who are possessed by demons, like the men from, the men that Jesus healed from the demon called Legion, sitting, and he is well, he has the peace of mind, he has good mind. People would say, "What a God, what a mighty God. Jesus is great." That's why Jesus was able to warn a lot of, people knew about him. So we are the people that spread the knowledge of him everywhere. That's what it means. For he says, "For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing." So we are like that aroma. So he says that as we go through that procession, we are like that scent, or like smell of God, aroma of God, praises that praises God, that makes God happy when God sees what has happened. But even to every other person, but not everybody, to the one, we are the aroma that brings death. To the other, an aroma that brings life. And who is equal to such a task? Now, when we are going through that procession to the people who are being saved, we are aroma of life. But those others who are perishing, we are aroma of death, because we remind them that they are also going to die. Those who have not been captured and they are seeing us, they say, wow, it's a matter of time. We are also going to be taken and die. That's why some people want to finish these captives, so that they don't keep on reminding them of what happens. And like so many, we don't peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ, we speak before God with sincerity as those sent from God. I think we need to finish there, but Paul is saying we are different preachers. Now he starts now talk about himself. We, and like so many, there's so many other preachers. We don't peddle the word of God for profit. We don't sell the word of God. We don't take the word of God to the market. We don't use the word of God for pain. We have been taken for by grace. So we don't sell the word of God. We don't sell salt. We don't sell water. We don't sell the gifting. We don't ask people to come with seeds, so that we can enrich ourselves. He says, and like many, we don't peddle the word of God for profit. He said, on the contrary, in Christ, we speak before God with sincerity as those sent from God. What a great testimony. He started talking about himself. That it is, he speak with the sincerity before God. He know that he has been sent of God. He has not, he's not going to sell the word of God, to sell salt for the word of God. May God help us to be like that. Father, we look up to you. Help us not to peddle the word of God for profits. We thank you because we are like captives of war in Christ's processional victorious procession. Lord, use us to spread the knowledge of Jesus Christ, not by serving the word of God for profit, in Jesus' name.